How many people here are Beatles fans? The group The Beatles. You like The Beatles? Anybody else like The Beatles?
I like some of their stuff.
You like some of their stuff? You guys don't like The Beatles?
Not much.
Not much? Okay. I'll have to admit, I can't say that I ever, or am, that I ever was much of a Beatles fan myself. They broke up before I actually started really enjoying music. I'm not quite as old as you might think. And other than a few tunes like Hey Jude, Yesterday, and Come Together, none were my favorites. What's your favorite Beatles tune?
I don't know. All the one they're
going to talk about. Oh, the one. Oh, yeah, you go ahead and spoil it. Go ahead and spoil it. However, they did do a song that is fitting for the sermon that she was just about to say. Perhaps you've heard it. Now, reading the words from a song never works out well, but me singing it's even worse for you. So, the first three verses are love, 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 over and over again. Love, love, love. There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy. All you need is love. And that's where it goes bump and up and out, right? All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. So, what do you think? I love your voice. That's what I love. What do you think? Is all you need is love? What do you think?
No.
No? Well, see, now she's going to try to spoil the whole sermon. That's what she's going to try to do, right? You're fine.
Not
on purpose. First of all, what is love? We throw that word around a lot. For instance, I love cookie dough ice cream. And we have some at home still.
Yeah,
Augie loves mint chocolate chip ice cream. I said I love her little voice, and I do. People go, I love the way you did your hair.
I loved her.
Didn't you love how that movie inspired you? Any other expressions you can think of people throw out the word love?
Bacon.
I love bacon. Well, that's a serious love. That's not the the focus of this sermon, but that's a serious love. And don't worry, I'm not going to do a sermon, if you've ever heard it, where they go into the three types of love in Scripture, brotherly, erotic, and agape. But I do think it's important to note that when up here in the pulpit, I speak of love, I am speaking of a biblical love, not a worldly love, not one of desire or of flippant use. Because we do use the word love flippantly. Right, but that's a different love. I think we actually do. I mean, it's hard to love every individual who listens in the same heartfelt way, but I do think we actually truly care. And I think that that love that we say there is a more biblical love. But even with a biblical love, is love all you need? And Scripture makes it clear that love, the correct kind of it, that is important. Perhaps the most obvious time it does this is when it puts love above all else. And let's look at that. This is a long reference, but it's a great one. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's go there and read through the 13 verses. Chapter 13 verses in chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if we were in Bible study, we'd go round robin, which is a good one to do it. Are we there? If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, and I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I suspect everything would be better if every morning the whole world read those verses before interacting with another human being. What do you think? Maybe I should print them up, put them up the wall, and every morning get up and spend, what would it take? If you don't do it as emphatically as me, what would it take, 45 seconds, a minute? Just to read that before we start interacting with somebody else, whether it be our beautiful wives, somebody at work who frustrates us, the dogs, you should read that. And what was the greatest of these three? I mean, we want faith, we want hope, but what was the greatest of the three?
Love.
Not only does 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13 tell us that, but it tells us how true love is. True love is not lust, is it? Is that in there? True love is not getting what you want or leveraging your love so you get what you want. True love isn't of wrongdoing. And to be honest, that one we should probably think more about. Because sometimes if we watch movies and we get a kick out of the wrong things that people do on the screen, then isn't that kind of a love of wrongdoing? So it's very easy because I don't like people doing wrong stuff. But as I've said in another sermon, if you voyeuristically murder somebody in a movie, it's still murder, isn't it? At least in the heart. Jesus taught us that. Love is patient. It is kind. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. And I could go on, but if I'm not careful, I'll just read the whole chapter to you again. So we won't do that. Going back to my original question, is all you need love? And what we're going to do is we're going to use a little simple logic to answer that question. First John gives us the foundation for our logical conclusion, and it's 18th and 16th verses in chapter 4. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. First John's an awesome book. This would be a good one just to read every morning. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 8, and then we're going to look at verse 16. 8. You there, love?
What chapter?
Chapter 4, verse 8, and then verse 16. And you see there's another, I think this is a legitimate use of the word, but you notice I use love to refer to my beautiful wife.
I love her too.
That's good. She loves you, Augie. Anyone who does not love does not know God because, what? God is love. Thank you, Augustine. God is love. And let's take a look at verse 16. Verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. What's the next three words?
God is love.
Exactly. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. Has anybody here had a math class where you had to do logical proofs? You have?
It was geometry.
Same thing. I hated, actually, funny enough, you hated it. I hated geometry until I had the math class about logical proofs that use geometry. Go figure. You guys ever have a math class where you had to do logical proofs? They do it like triangles, if you know two things. What can you say about the... Yeah, exactly.
If such and such, then such and such.
Well, there is a property, a fundamental property called the symmetry, or symmetrical, I should say, property, that, and this makes sense, right? If A equals B, then B, what?
Equals C.
No, that's a different one. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. That's a different property. There's a more fundamental, a more simple property. If A equals B, then B equals what?
A.
Exactly. The symmetrical property. It makes sense. And obviously, we have to be careful. You can say that a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not necessarily a square. But when you're talking about true equals, right, if you say A equals B, and you're talking all the same context, all the same stuff, then obviously B equals A. So, 1 John tells us what about God? Agreed? 1 John clearly says God is love. Thus, based on the symmetrical property, that fundamental truthful property, what can we say?
Love is God.
Love is God, right? If God equals love, that's why I have my notes, he'll equal sign, staying mathematical. If God equals love, then love equals what?
God,
exactly. Now, obviously, we have to be cautious and not assume every time in the Bible that we see the word love, we can just substitute God. But it can be very fitting. For instance, go back to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, okay? I want you to look at it, and I'm going to do a substitution there, but I want you to read it as it is as I'm doing the substitution. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Are we there? God is patient and kind. God does not envy or boast. He is not arrogant or rude. He does not insist on his own way. He is not irritable or resentful. He does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Do you think that substitution works pretty well? I mean, there's some of it you could say, well, he doesn't believe all things. He knows all things. You know what I mean? But the fact is, that substitution actually works pretty well, doesn't it? Taking the word love and putting God in there. And then replacing it with he. I wasn't going to keep an it in there. God equals love. Love equals God. Now, given that fundamental proof, I guess you would say, is all you need is love? Thoughts? I'd say yes. All you need is love. Not a Beatles kind of love.
Daddy.
Although it would be nice to get the royalty payments. Not a Beatles kind of love. All you need is love because God is love. And God is truly and absolutely all you need. Now considering the discord in the U.S. that we're all constantly bombarded with, and perhaps, sadly, sometimes too often involved in, I pretty much want to stop here and just ask you to consider your great need, my great need, our great need of love. How much we really need love in today's modern world. However, before we end, let's consider two more scriptures. What good is having love? Or rather, how can we think we have love, that we have God, if it, love, or if he, God, does not affect our behavior? Isn't that important? How can we think that we have God, or love, whichever way we want to say it, if that fact doesn't affect our behavior? So let's look at 1 John again. We're going to look at chapter 4, 7 through 12. 7 through 12. I should warn you, instead of making you reflip, huh, love?
No, it's okay. It's just so small.
It is. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. If anyone does not love, I'm sorry, anyone, not if anyone, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Does anybody know what propitiation is?
Forgiveness?
Basically payment, coverage for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. If we have love, and yes, in oversimplified terms, all we need is love. If we have love, then we will exhibit the characteristics that we read in 1 Corinthians 14 or 13 and just read in 1 John 4. And we should. I'm not going to make you look up this one. Most of you can probably repeat this by heart. We should, because it is love that actually saved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.